This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Chiefs theoretically could get better and have a worse finish next year than they did this year. Because it's crazy to say, and we keep coming back to, some will argue the Chiefs had a down year this year and won a Super Bowl.
I'll be the first to argue that.
I know that. It's the craziest thing to say, you know, they were kind of off all year. They won the Super Bowl, but they were off all year.
Man.
It's true.
They turned the Jets on in the playoffs.
Jets in playoffs. That's a weird sentence.
It really is. Very strange, I wasn't used to saying those two words.
We are
together.
On Sportsman Like with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. So Patrick Mahomes yesterday was on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN and had this to say about the attempt to three-peat next year.
I'm not going to be done playing anytime soon. I want my son to be able to grow up in the locker room like I grew up. So
how old
still
your
got
son?
A lot of life left. He's 1 year old. Just turned one in November. I'm going to work on getting this three-peat, man, with no three-peat ever. So we're working on that now.
It's amazing. Now he wants his son, because he grew up in the locker room with his dad as a baseball player. Now his son gets to grow up in the locker room, mm-hmm. which means he's not going to be out of there anytime soon. The three-peat is not an unrealistic conversation, despite the fact that it's never been done. You know, the eight teams that have won back-to-back have never gone back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But we've seen the Warriors and others, like we've seen other teams in other sports kind of have this dynasty blueprint, no?
Yeah, and just because it hasn't been done in the NFL doesn't mean it's not possible. Patrick Mahomes has had the best six-year start of any quarterback in his career. So, I mean, I think you have to throw history and you know, anything else to the wind when it comes to how we're framing what we're seeing from the Chiefs over the past half decade. I'm not going to doubt Patrick Mahomes, but because I've seen his greatness on display time and time again, and the competitive greatness is unrivaled in the National Football League. He is the best player, the best quarterback, and it's not close. It's by a country mile. So why would we think that the best player in the sport playing the most important position in all of team sports can't will his team back to the big game? Smalls, this team, since he's become the starter, starts every season in the conference championship game.
They do.
Every single year they've been in the conference championship game since he's been the full-time starter. Why would we think it's unfathomable for them to find themselves back in the Super Bowl? That doesn't make sense to me. So that's why I actually think a three-peat could be in the cards for this group.
Because not only would you have to be betting against Patrick Mahomes, you'd have to be betting against Andy Reid to be able to find a way to get there and execute once he's in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, who mm-hmm. also said that he wants to come back. And Steve Spagnuolo and that defense.
Well,
assuming that, you know, Chris Jones, L'Jarius Sneed, they're going to find a way to bring both those two back. And with a defense like that and Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to doubt them.
Smalls, let me ask you a question because you brought up a really, really big point. Chris Jones, L'Jarius Sneed, like those are two key cogs on their defense.
Yes.
Two of their three most important players on that side of the ball. How do you prioritize what they do with those two guys? What's the order of operations with Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed?
Both incredibly impactful, yeah. But I think you got to go Chris Jones first.
Chris
right?
Jones, yeah. I think you try to work out the long-term deal with Chris Jones first and you franchise tag L'Jarius Sneed and you figure it out from there, whether you're working out a long-term deal or whether you're going to have to flip him for draft picks.
So really good 11-year defensive lineman wants the defensive lineman paid as much as possible.
Yeah.
No way. I'm stunned by that.
Does he not deserve it, though? Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to pay him Nick Bosa money. Nick Bosa is the highest paid defensive player. He makes $34 million a year. That's what it's going to have to be for Chris Jones. It's going to make you blush if you're Brett Veach and Eddie Reed, but the guy, it deserves it. I mean, he had the third highest pass rush win rate on the season, despite being double teamed, the most in the NFL as a defensive lineman. I don't know, man. You got to pay the guy.
Have to.
You have to pay him.
So I got to be honest. When I ask this question, I don't know the answer, and I'm doing this on purpose. Do you remember after the Warriors went 73-9, they lose in the championship to the Cavs, they go get Kevin Durant the next couple of years? Do you remember what they did in the regular season record wise? Because I have no idea.
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that question is you do the Warriors-Chiefs comp. Are we done talking about the Chiefs in the regular season?
Yes, we're done.
Because we made a huge mistake this year. Week by week, we're saying, they're not it. They're not good at this. They're not good at that.
I'm done.
What was the point?
It's
almost like we should approach next year as there's 31 teams competing in the NFL, and there's a dynasty. And they're not the same. It's not, hey, they're one of 32. They're not one of 32. They're one of one, and there's 31 other teams.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the same approach that I did with the Bengals. When they get off to a slow start, I always just defer to the fact that this has happened before. If Joe Burrow is healthy, they'll find a way. I'm doing the same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care what the receiving core looks like. I don't care what the record is. As long as they're still within firing distance of getting in the playoffs, I'm going to assume that they're going to punch their ticket and they're going to be in at least the conference championship game.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, how many times the Patriots were the one seed versus the two seed?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I mean, they went to, what, eight straight conference championship games?
It never matters.
The Chiefs are starting to have that air of inevitability.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think starting. I think they have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's immutable. It's like gravity. Like, you're going to have to deal with them getting to this point in the season. Now, we've seen them lose in the conference championship. We've seen them lose in the Super Bowl. But that's where they reside. Their season is not going to end before that. So it's only a matter. The only thing that we're looking for is who are the other three teams that are going to be a part of the Final Four once we get to that part of the calendar in the NFL season.
And health, which obviously you can't predict or read into or whatever it may be, right?
Well, yeah, listen, as long as 1-5 is healthy,
you're good.
They're going to be there.
You're good, good.
As long as 15 is healthy, they're going
to
be there.
Yeah.
So here's what it comes down to for
and
the Chiefs.
And he usually is. Or he'll play through injuries,
right?
Too.
You say he's one of the most durable players in the NFL.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So what can happen next year for NFL teams, for the other teams that play the Kansas City Chiefs? You can have big wins. They don't have big losses. No such thing. Like the Detroit Lions game won this year, looking back on it, that was a huge win for the Lions. That told us something. If you have the ability to beat the Chiefs, that tells us a lot about you. It tells us nothing about the Chiefs.
No.
And they went into Arrowhead and did
no.
it.
No. And that's always going to be the measuring stick game for every single team.
Correct.
But it's been that way for what, the last 5 years? So why would we think that that's going to change what we get from the Kansas City Chiefs? They're used to having the target on their back.
Of course.
You heard Patrick Mahomes before the Super Bowl. They're leaning into the villain role. But I guess my question now becomes, in viewing them as a dynasty, because I think they've officially checked all the boxes, like, because of the inevitability of where they end their NFL seasons year in, year out, is this one of the top dynasties that we've seen? Like, it feels like it's the New England Patriots in that regard, mm-hmm. and nobody else. That's it.
So, Golden, you're saying in all sports, like recently?
I'm saying in the NFL.
Oh, NFL. Okay, sorry. So, NFL, it's New England. In our lifetime, it's New England, because Dallas won the three.
Yeah, Dallas won three in, what was that,
four years.
Yeah, three
two different
years.
Coaches, obviously. Yeah. San Francisco won a bunch, two different coaches with Walsh and then Seifert. Montana and then Young.
I don't think the qualification of the coach really matters.
No, so. There's some factors that go into it. I mean... It feels like the second best dynasty of our lifetime in the NFL. Of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, historically.
Steelers, they won 4-6.
Yeah, well, that's better. I mean, that's just, you know, none of us were alive for that in the 70s.
Steelers won 4-6.
No, it's the Patriots and then them. And the thing that to me is so remarkable about this is the handoff that occurred. Like, there was no gap in between the dynasties here. It's New England had theirs, and then here. Kansas City, your turn.
Yeah, they were
in
right
every
in the
other sport. We seemingly have a huge, like, the San Francisco Giants won three World Series in 5 years.
Yeah,
I don't know that anybody realizes that, and that was in the last 10 years or so. But we had the Yankees in the late 90s and early 2000s were so relevant, and they were the evil empire. That handoff has not happened yet.
No.
Right? It's still maybe. I know Smalls has been pitching the Dodgers as an evil empire kind of thing.
They are.
But okay, but to equal that, they have to win like two or three World Series titles.
Yeah, they got one.
For sure.
I mean, the Warriors were a dynasty, we think, and they still may be going, but what the NFL is just another thing that makes the NFL the best ever is they had this all-time dynasty, and then what they did was they had an all-time dynasty right after that. It's crazy to think about. And now, just like with New England, you couldn't project anybody beating them. They got beaten, but you couldn't project it. And I don't know how you can project anyone to beat Kansas City.
I ain't going to do it.
You can't.
Are you looking at me? I'm not going to pick against them. I mean, this has a chance. It's already an all-time team, but this has a chance to be the best ever. Like, if they three-peat, do something that nobody else has ever done in the sport, and their head coach gets to another playoff appearance, which would give him 20, which nobody has ever done in the sport. If Patrick Mahomes is the starting quarterback when they win a third championship in a row, which nobody has done before, This has to be considered the best ever. Mm-hmm. Like that's the conversation that this team has now entered into with the prospects of what they can do this upcoming season. That is insane to me that we are literally watching history with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and that this dude is that good this early into his career. Smalls, he's just 28 years old.
Crazy.
He's just 28 years old. If you're a good quarterback, you got at least another decade of runway to compete in the NFL. Like, just we're running out of adjectives to describe Patrick Mahomes, but as long as that guy is understanding, the Kansas City Chiefs going to be in this spot every single year.
Did you see the post that his wife, Brittany Mahomes, put out with the text messages between the two of them?
Yeah.
On January 5th, he texted the family and said, "I decided we're going to win the Super Bowl. I decided." And then he went out there and did it. Like, when you talk about him in the GOAT conversation, the GOAT in waiting, that's Michael Jordan. "I decided we're going to win the Super Bowl." And then they do it.
What was he thinking on January 4th? Like, that they weren't going to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. But
it was a, put my finger in the air. We'll see what happens. But then January 5th, you know, I woke up this morning. And I was kind of like, you know what? I'm feeling like we're going to win the Super Bowl.
You know, I was thinking about
it. And then go out there and do it. But doesn't that feel like Michael Jordan? Like,
yes.
In watching The Last Dance, him being able to tell his opponent exactly what's going to happen and no one can stop him? No one could stop Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, we talked about it earlier this week, and Greeny did a great job of framing it yesterday, but he said a big part of what makes what Mahomes is doing is special is how he's not only shaping his legacy, but he's shaping the legacy of all of his rivals around him. Like, think about it. Like, there are going to be guys that don't have a chance to win a chip because Patrick Mahomes is there.
Which puts him in the conversation with Michael, like you said, which puts him in the conversation with Brady. It puts him in the conversation with Tiger. And Serena is the number one to me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, she just annihilated women's tennis where nobody else could come close. Yeah. I was thinking about
There's no oxygen for anybody else.
No.
I was thinking, good way to put it. When you think about the faces of this dynasty, and we got to maybe put this coming up in a sec, it's Mahomes. It's Kelsey and it's Reed. Is there anyone else that has, like, the face in the dynasty?
Chris Jones has got to be included in that.
I got to put Spags in there.
Okay, well, we're going to continue this conversation.
Those guys got to be in there.
Plus, are we writing another dynasty off too quickly? We did it a little bit with the Chiefs. Is there another one we may be writing off too quickly? We'll get to that coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So when we think about the New England dynasty, we think about owner, head coach, quarterback, right? That's really the faces of the New England dynasty because those are the three that were there the entirety of the time. Mm-hmm. Edelman, Gronk, they were not there the entirety of the time. With Kansas City, we know it's Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Are we putting anybody else in terms of the faces of the dynasty?
I have to put Steve Spagnuolo in there because they don't win without the efforts from their defense and some of the things that Spags has dialed up. So it's hard for me to leave him off that list because he's been integral to their continued success.
Yeah, and along that same line with that theme on defense, I got to go with Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been the best player on that defense. He's one of the best defensive players in all of football. And he doesn't get the credit that he nearly deserves because everything that they do on the offensive side of the ball, including Patrick Mahomes, overshadows the other aspects of that roster. Chris Jones is one of the finest players in the NFL.
So we're looking at 4/5. It's weird. We don't put ownership, even though we should. The Hunt family is a legendary family in the NFL.
We don't put the general manager
We don't
there.
Put Brent Veach. And it's not a knock on him. Like, yeah. He's just not front and center. Right? And so Chris Jones and then Steve Spagnuolo would be the additional faces of that dynasty. Speaking of dynasties, and maybe we shouldn't have written off, the Warriors have been excellent as of late, have won 5 games in a row. They are playing against the Clippers tonight, a game that will be seen on ESPN at 10 p.m. Eastern time. But now there's a big back and forth, or there continues to be a back and forth, between Draymond Green and Yusuf Nurkic of the Phoenix Suns. So that's the player that Draymond obviously went after, gets suspended indefinitely, however you want to call that, went and got whatever.
He hit him in the face.
No, nobody's defending that. I just don't know if they called it technically a suspension versus leave of absence or whatever it is. Clippers-Warriors. Clippers-Warriors tonight, ESPN. Yeah. So these two guys have not stopped, right, going at each other. And Draymond, on his podcast, courtesy of The Volume, had this to say about the back and forth with the Suns over the weekend.
Just to go questioning my character, I thought was whack. But, like, guys are making a habit out of that. Him and Kevin questioned my character before, you know, as if you go question somebody's character about a basketball game, as if this not real life, as if that don't affect people's pockets. Like, I think all of it was really cowardly, if you want my honest opinion. Yeah, I did what I did. I take my stuff on the chin. We've spoke about that. I still stand on that. I meant every word I said about it. But if you want to know the truth about that, I think all of us cowardly. I think, you know, you start going to question somebody's character in front of the whole world, it's whack. So I think they all whack, both of them.
So,
well, we knew that he thinks Kevin Durant was whack when they were teammates. We knew that.
They have the weirdest relationship of any two people maybe in sports because they were, like, so close, which is why they played together. They played together, and they had a famous breakup based on the stuff that Draymond said to him in that game against the Clippers, amongst other things. Then, like, a year or two later, they do an interview with each other where they're blaming everybody else for the breakup and not them. Then we think that they're all cool. Now they're against each other again. I can't figure them out for the life of me. But Nurkic went on Twitter and said, when he was responding to what Draymond had to say, all good, bad boy. Just don't stay too long on the podcast. Going to be late for a therapy session. Crying face emoji.
Yeah.
We really doing that?
He needs an extra O on the two, though.
That's right, yeah. Notice that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really going to do that? You want to go at Draymond, fine. If this triggered Draymond to better himself and get help.
He's not better, though. Not based on that soundbite. Draymond Green ain't better.
I know, but I'm saying the idea of making fun of somebody for going to therapy is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's that part. And that's not something that you should do. I mean, we all acknowledge that Yusuf Nurkic is tone deaf and he's in the wrong. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Draymond Green hasn't learned his lesson. Like, to say that it's whack for people to question your character when you've showed us time and time again that it should be questioned based on what you're doing on the court and putting players in harm's way with your actions that are not basketball related? Yeah, absolutely. We should question your character.
Yeah, but you said something that I've never heard before starting to work with you that I have now used in my daily conversation when talking about this. And that is putting the word sports in front of character. And I think that's what he was saying. To me, you can question his.
You can
question his
physically,
sports character, but not his real life character.
No, when you're choking people and you're hitting them, that's that beyond part. Sports character. That's that character.
That's
when you're putting other people in physical danger and you could actually hurt them. That is beyond sports character to me.
Okay. You can make that argument.
Albert Haynesworth stumping on Andre Girard's face, my teammate once upon a time, that's not sports character. That's just character.
Okay, but Ndamukong Suh,
you're stumping on somebody's face with cleats on.
Right.
That's just character.
You're
that's not
to hurt
even
somebody.
Though it happens in the context of a sporting event. That's not sports character. That's just normal character. Like any normal human being would know, I ain't supposed to stomp on somebody's face with cleats on. Just like any normal human being would know, it's not okay to waylay somebody in the head.
I agree. But like Ndamukong Suh, former defensive lineman, famously had on-field incidents, and famously off the field is like the nicest guy in the world. So how do we separate the two? Like, that's a guy that had famous incidents where he got in trouble.
He didn't punch somebody in the head.
He stepped on them and he slammed the heads down.
He stepped on a guy's hand, which is bad enough.
Yeah.
On a guy's hand.
And in real life?
That's fine. But here's what I'm saying. He's not punching somebody in the head. He didn't put a player in a chokehold.
Repeat offender.
Like, the history of Draymond Green, the pattern. And here's the thing. We're just talking about events that happened this year.
Right.
Right.
We ain't even going back years ago when he kicked LeBron James in the groin. Like, we're not even going to that. We're just talking about this season.
So
this season.
We have a full body of work.
Yeah.
But all of this said, and we could dispute this all we want. All of this said, Draymond has had the stuff that causes him to get penalized on the court. However we want to look at that. When he plays, he's awesome. And they've won 5 games in a row since they literally switched up the entire starting lineup and put him at center now. It's 6'5", 6'6". Jonathan Kuminga is very young, is playing really well. And I have not written this team off. Brian Windhorst said something, NBA Today, and on his podcast, Hoop Collective. He said, I would rather write the Warriors off one day late than one day early. And I have used that all year, and I still feel like they're alive. And the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl really makes me think, you know what? I'll write them off one day late versus one day early.
Yeah, clearly they're a different team when Draymond's out on the floor. You see a renewed sense of energy. You see a different version of Steph. And maybe it would be foolish to write them off. I mean, we just had conversations ad nauseum about how we're not going to do it with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that championship DNA, that dynasty DNA, it's still there. So I see where you're coming from.
So no. They're still alive for you?
No, they're not alive for me. I think context and the win streak actually matters. They beat one good team and one team that we think could possibly be good, right? Like, I mean, I'm just looking at they've won 5 straight. They've won 7 of 8. During that span, the only impressive wins to me that they've had, a win against the Indiana Pacers on the road, but the Pacers play no defense, and the win against the Phoenix Suns, which was by 1 point on Saturday night. That's it.
Which is the game that sparked a lot of the
That's it. So I mean, I'm not impressed. Like I'm not impressed. I don't know how sustainable it is, and I don't know it going with that small lineup how you're going to have success against some of these Western Conference powers that have size on the front line. That's a terrible matchup for you. Like I was watching OKC versus Orlando last night. The thin man is a problem. Chet Holmgren is an absolute problem.
No, he's nasty.
You want to march out that Draymond Green at center lineup against that group? Good luck with that.
I'm actually confident against that group.
Good luck with that.
I am.
I'm not at all. I'm not confident with them against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like all of these upstart teams that people are saying, oh, they might not have championship pedigree. Yeah, but you know what? They're going to pose a bad matchup for the Golden State Warriors from a personnel standpoint. And this is not peak Golden State. These are guys that are in the twilight of their prime, and I'm not sure they have enough horsepower. I'm not sure they have enough gas in the tank in order to get it done against those squads, which they're going to be facing a lot earlier in the playoffs, given where they're at in the standings.
But it does make me nervous to write them off after I wrote off the Kansas City Chiefs all season long and they just won the Super Bowl.
I think you can be all right. You can write them off.
The spin positively. Steph Curry has been as great as he's ever been.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is back and as under control as Draymond could be. He's under control playing a position that probably makes sense for him despite his height. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's a point center. They talked about that two timeline thing forever now, which didn't work out. James Wiseman,
yeah.
Right? But Kuminga is now a guy where they have a lob threat, a slasher that they didn't have previously. And by the way, if Chris Paul comes back and he's got anything left in the tank, you know, their second unit is all of a sudden pretty good. Like, I just think there's still life with this team. I think their dynasty is still alive, less alive, obviously, than the Chiefs, but I'm not ready to write them off.
Man, they must be on life support in your world. Dynasty on
life support is still alive, are they not? If you're on life support, you're still technically alive.
Let me ask
you
a question. Looking at the top 5 teams in the West, who are you picking the Golden State Warriors over in a 7-game series?
So, right, that's the thing. If we're going to project it out in the playoffs, right, I would still, and this is not fair, but because I haven't seen it before, I'd still feel comfortable with them against Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
Did you see Minnesota the other night?
I understand, but I still feel comfortable.
Did you see
them
against the Clippers?
I still feel comfortable
the
with them.
Clippers wasn't clipping that night.
That's the team that I would not pick them over necessarily if everybody's healthy.
No.
But Kawhi's not playing tonight, by the
way. No, he's not playing tonight. But, I mean, listen.
Would you pick them over Phoenix?
The Clippers with Kawhi Leonard?
They're nasty. I'd say they're going to win a championship.
Let me tell you something. I will say this, and this is going to sound like a hot take. All things being equal, Kawhi Leonard healthy is the biggest X factor in the NBA.
He's the best player in the NBA when healthy.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and that's not a shot at Kawhi Jokic.
Kawhi Leonard, when he's healthy, he's above Steph Curry. When he's healthy, and I know people don't want to say that because of where Steph Curry ranks in the pantheon of all-time greats, greatest shooter the game has ever seen. I'm going to tell you what. With this season, with these playoffs, if Kawhi Leonard is healthy, he's going to have more impact on his team having success than Steph Curry can.
I don't think there's much debate on that, and I love Steph Curry. I think Kawhi is ridiculous.
But we just haven't seen Kawhi Leonard healthy on the court for the last 3 years?
That's the problem. When you see that he's out tonight, it could be nothing with nothing, but your mind starts racing of, uh-oh, does this start something here?
Yeah, but he's played in so many games this year already.
I know. Today is a big day.
He's played in 48 games.
I know. It's like more than he's played in 7 seasons. Today is a big day. It's Valentine's Day, and pitchers and catchers report. Smalls with love next. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Does this hit the same way the NFL music hits? For Smalls, it does.
Right? I don't know. The NFL music is so good.
Yeah, we got to work on this one. It's good.
I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like this because you guys love the NFL music. And I sent this to CC a couple of weeks ago, and he won't admit it. But the old NBA and NBC music is better than the NFL music. Said it.
I admit it.
Oh, you do admit it?
I admit it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There was something comforting about coming home after church on Sunday and having the NBA triple header on NBC.
You knew
one of the games was going to be the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, God. You just watched Michael.
You knew it.
And it was going to be a great day.
No doubt. No question.
Valentine's Day. Pitchers and catchers reporting. Smalls is in heaven today.
Oh, my God. It's like Valentine's. Well, actually, I can't read my notes with these glasses on, so we're going to have to take them off. But I did bring props. That's how excited I am to be able to talk a little baseball.
There we go.
Here are my top three storylines as we head into spring training, fellas. And I hate to do this to you, CeCe, but I got to kick things off with the New York Yankees. Mm. Last year, their offense, not so great, as you're aware. 24th in OPS, 25th in runs scored. They're hoping that pairing Juan Soto with Aaron Judge could be a winning combination, and it feels like it, right? Doesn't it feel like having Juan Soto wear the pinstripes alongside Aaron Judge is classic Yankees? There's going to be some interesting lineup construction things that are happening with the Yankees. You have a lot of talent there. You obviously have Judge and Soto, and I know that Judge said that he prefers that Soto's in the two hole and he's going to hit third, but then you still have Stanton, you have Torres, you have LeMahieu, you work in another lefty option with Alex Verdugo, a healthy Anthony Rizzo, Volpe. Interested to see how they not only build this lineup, but Soto slotting into it.
I'm going to tell you one other Yankee storyline that is going to be a storyline all year long. It's not fair to anyone involved, but I got to bring it up. Somebody that I've loved for years as a guy and as a manager and as a player. The Yankees recently hired Joe Girardi to work at their Yes Network, the television network for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone theoretically has been on the hot seat for a while.
Yeah.
Hasn't actually been on the hot seat at all, though, right?
Yeah, we feel like Boone and Cashman have both been on the hot seat, yet they haven't been.
But the Soto move is basically putting both of them on the clock.
So Joe Girardi now is required for his job to watch every single Yankee game. I'm not even suggesting that he's definitely going to manage the team. I think he could run the team as a general manager if they wanted one day. I'm just saying it will be – Joe's not angling for anything. It's going to be a storyline that the guy that won a World Series with them in 2009 – Northwestern educated, brilliant guy, is just hovering all season.
I'm just going to say it like this. You traded for Soto this offseason, and you have the two best players in the AL now that Shohei Ohtani is with the Dodgers. You got Aaron Judge and the Cy Young Award winner, Gerrit Cole. Y'all better finish better than fourth in the American League East. Like, you're on notice now.
That offense better be better.
Think about this. You were 19 games back of the division
Embarrassing.
This is supposed to be the championship window. Remember, once upon a time, Brian Cashman said, I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, a championship for championships. That was his justification for not trading away young players and guys that are no longer even on the team, like Miguel Andujar. Like, you didn't want to get rid of guys like that.
That's the thing. They really did not want to get rid of that guy.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're sitting here as a team that finished 19 games back of the division winner, and that division winner was a team that you dominated in the Baltimore Orioles. You've dominated the Baltimore Orioles up until this year, and now it feels like the tide has turned. So you got the best pitcher in the American League. You got the best overall player in Aaron Judge, and the position player in the American League. And you got Juan Soto. You better finish better than fourth in the American League. You better win the damn division and go on a deep playoff run. Otherwise, we need to be talking about running out Brian Cashman and his boy Aaron Boone.
For baseball's sake, we need the Bronx Bombers back. We need that offense to be high-powered for baseball's sake.
Yeah.
Baseball's better when the Yankees are good.
Here's the thing. It's either going to be really, really good or really, really bad, Smalls. And with Cashman and Boone, you just never know.
You just never know.
We'll it will be spectacular, attention. Though. It's starting to have a New York Jets kind of feel around the Yankees.
Ooh, I know that they
don't
what,
I know
what
people
a diss.
Don't want to call it. It's starting to have a Jets kind of feel around
what
there.
What a diss.
I'm not a Yankee guy. That seems a little much.
Well, you say it. It's been the longest championship drought that we've had since the 80s.
Oh, I hope you're right.
No, I'm just saying, the longest chance. Like, think about it. 2009 was a long time ago, guys.
Sure was.
A long time ago.
Good. I hope you're right.
Now, wait, does that mean Juan Soto's Aaron Rodgers in this comparison?
Yeah, he's in a cave right now.
The guy they brought in to be the savior? I don't know. Okay, well, next, let's stay in that division. I'm going to borrow from you, CC. Okay, you mentioned the Baltimore Orioles. I'm interested to see how the Orioles respond to the surprising amount of success that they had last year. They had 101 wins. They went to the ALDS. Everyone felt like maybe they were a year early on their success. They were America's darling. But with that success comes renewed expectations this year. All of a sudden, what happened in the playoffs last year is not going to be tolerated this year, but specific to spring training, they have a lot of young talent on this Orioles team. You have Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Grayson Rodriguez, but my eyes are trained to Jackson Holliday. He was the 2022 mm-hmm. number one overall draft pick. He's trying to earn a job and make his big league debut this spring. Trust me, this kid is an absolute stud. He's a star in the making. He came up as a shortstop, but I think we could see him starting at second base for the Orioles, and I think he's going to be an amazing addition to this team, and I think if he does earn that starting spot, he's going to make an impact early on.
Well, for all those who may not know who Jackson Holliday is, I'm going to make you feel old. He's Matt Holliday's former outfielder's son.
Wow.
We are old. Because Matt Holliday feels like he played last week, and right. I know he did not, obviously, but that's his son, which is just amazing. Also, they're really well managed with Brandon Hyde, and they just picked up Corbin Burns, former Cy Young Award winner. So the Orioles, for the first time in seemingly forever, have World Series pressure on them, which is amazing.
They do.
Adley Rutschman, best catcher in the American League?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, he's pretty damn good.
And what is he, 26? I mean, he's 25. There you go. Pretty young.
Were you just looking at me thinking I know Adley Rutschman's age off the top of my head?
Evan, you know everything.
I don't know.
You do know everything.
Keep it pushing. Next.
Keep it pushing. Next. Okay, we're going to talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers. All eyes are on LA this season. They've assembled quite possibly the most annoying super team. They're going to annoy me all season long.
She hates the Dodgers so much.
Everybody's so geeked right now because they saw all that footage of Shohei Ohtani hitting BP, but that's not what I'm paying attention to this spring training. It's all about Yoshinobu Yamamoto for me.
Yeah.
How is his stuff going to play in the majors? We know what he did in the Nippon Professional Baseball League. He won the Triple Crown for pitching. He led the league in wins, ERA, and strikeouts, and he won Japan's equivalent to the Cy Young Award 3 years running. Oh, and he's 25 years old, okay? He got a massive contract with the LA Dodgers, $325 million to be exact. And the early commentary around him is that his stuff is absolutely nasty. He's been dotting everywhere as he's known to do. Alden Gonzalez actually has a great piece on Yamamoto up at .com. You should check it out. But I'm really interested to see in spring training if his stuff translates immediately to Major League Baseball.
Couple of things in the Dodgers. First off, Smalls every Thursday goes on Mason in Ireland, 1P to 4P Pacific. Pacific time, ESPN LA, 710. Are you trying to get fired off of that show? You hate on the Dodgers and you hate on the Rams.
I'm just being honest. They like me because I'm honest.
She's an honesty broker.
My God.
Hey, I hate on the Rams, but I said their window is open. That's true. I can hate them, but you be honest in my assessment.
That's fair. You did say that. I don't know if you guys saw. So Shohei Ohtani, I guess, had batting practice yesterday.
I saw it, yes. Yeah.
I think
hyped.
He took 21 swings in batting practice. 10 of them were home runs.
Yeah.
He's a monster. He's ridiculous. And there's nothing this guy can't do, although he can't pitch this year because of injury. But so Ohtani to you is not the most interesting piece on the Dodgers?
No, Yamamoto
really?
Is.
The $700 million man.
Because I know what Shohei Ohtani is. I mean, we're looking at it right now on the television side. I don't know if Yamamoto is going to translate immediately to Major League Baseball. I mean, we know what he's been able to do. 49-16, 1.44 ERA, 580 strikeouts. He's an absolute monster. But we haven't seen him in Major League Baseball yet.
I mean, the top of the rotation is pretty filthy, though. Will you add him, Tyler Glasnow, you got Clayton Kershaw?
Don't even.
Look at him.
It's nasty.
Yet if they were all in the Cardinals,
it's nasty.
We probably still wouldn't win.
No, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm down on the Cardinals.
Wait, think the Yankees are the Jets, basically, and you're saying the Cardinals, even if they had all the Dodgers players, would not win?
No, because
what's happening in
the
baseball?
The Cardinals don't win when they're stacked. They need like the David Ecksteins and David Freezes, the Memphis Mafia to come in. They need that quirky, edgy, gritty team in order to
really
win.
They really are the Patriots, huh?
Please.
Yeah, they are. They are. You don't want to admit it. She's over us saying that. Pat Costello's over something next on Sportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat Costello, our weatherman, our meteorologist, check at Unsports ESPN for that from yesterday. Pat did an unbelievable job going out in the blizzard and giving us a weather report. Each and every day, he gives us things that he's over in sports, life, entertainment. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I made a great point in that intro. How does Doc Rivers keep getting these coaching opportunities? How are the Bucks so much worse? They're terrible. They stink. He's going to be like working with us again in like a week. Are we already talking about him on the hot seat?
I watched that game last night against Miami. Miami was the depleted team. I was thinking about something. At what point do we put this on the players, not the coaches? They've had three coaches now in less than a year, and they have no effort on defense. Does scheme really matter? I mean, I know it does, but defense is the kind of thing that, to me, I look at it and say, it's just an effort thing to start.
Yeah, at some point, if you have to keep changing the coach, when are we going to point the finger at the players? I'm so with you on that one. Maybe the common thread is them.
Not maybe. I mean, it is. They just don't, they're not aggressive on defense. Something seems off. I don't want to speculate too much, but Dame Lillard didn't ask to be there.
Mm.
And Dame Lillard's been excellent offensively. But you have to wonder, if you had your mindset on, I want to go one place or just stay where I've been for the last decade, if being in another place has thrown him off. And that could be any place. It's not just Milwaukee. I don't want to make it about that. I had that thought last night. Now, they were playing Miami, so maybe that's why I had that thought. But something is clearly off with that.
But here's the thing. The two stars don't get a pass for not being able to make it work.
You're right.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, Giannis decided that he was going to sign an extension after they made the move to bring over Damian Lillard. It's a big swing by the organization. They've done everything they can to support their superstar player, who has won them a championship.
Yes.
But the goal should be to have a dynastic run, especially when you add an all-NBA caliber player like Lillard, and the fact that they are underwhelming through the majority of the season up until the All-Star break is highly concerning. I mean, again, they fired Adrian Griffin, and they had a top three record in the Eastern Conference. They are sounding the alarm for us.
Yes.
And again, I think this is going to reflect on both of those players' legacy if they get paired up and they can't get it done.
I want to say, I could be wrong on this, I want to say they're 11-12 in their last 23 games.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, when you have the win that you had the other night against the Nuggets and then you get embarrassed last night, that's uncalled for.
Without Jimmy Butler playing for Miami.
But, like, no, who was here playing for Miami last night? You
don't want me to answer that. You want to talk about getting in the weeds.
But I'm just saying, you're better off saying who wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Who was, you know what I'm saying? There was nobody on the court that you would know.
Right.
And they lost that game.
Not good.
That's not good. The inconsistency is what has – that is the best word to frame what we've seen from the Bucks so far. Inconsistency. And again, like I said, I think this season, if it ends disastrously, is going to stick to the legacies of both of those players because they're viewed as all-time greats. The fact that they're both together and they can't figure it out and get this done, that's an indictment on them.
I'll make a statement. I don't think it's inconceivable that Dame Lillard plays one season for the Bucks.
Wow.
I don't think that's inconceivable. I think it could be like, hey, you know what? This kind of didn't work for any of us here. We're going to go our separate ways. We're going to move you somewhere and like no hard feelings.
We'll get you to Miami.
If he ends up there.
We'll get you to Miami.
Next one.
I've asked this question a lot. Nunu can back me up on this. And I still have yet to get a satisfying answer. Why is it that Caleb Williams is the number one pick? I feel like everyone just went, yeah, Caleb's number one. And then nobody questioned it. But I have never seen a good justification for why he is, except people think that he plays like Patrick Mahomes, which I guess, I don't know when.
I mean, listen, I was watching Caleb Williams highlights last night, and I get it. They're highlights. But first of all, there were a hell of a lot of them. First of all, I watched 30 to 45 minutes of highlights.
Wow.
The guy has that uncanny playmaking ability, and he has this pocket awareness that is next level. Like, just his ability to be able to manipulate the pocket, being able to climb the pocket and make big boy throws, but also escape the pocket. He's not the fastest, but this is a guy that's really, really elusive, much in the same way of Patrick Mahomes. Like, we were talking about it on Monday when we came in and talked about the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes in the second half of that game in overtime, using his legs to be a playmaker, using his legs to buy time, using his legs to scramble for first downs, that made a huge difference in terms of the outcome of the game. And I see a lot of that in Caleb Williams. The improvisation of what we're seeing from Caleb Williams, that's one of the things that people think translates to the next level, and that's why people make the comp to Patrick Mahomes.
Is that satisfying for you, Pat, or no?
So you're saying he's the clear-cut one pick, Canty?
It's close.
Okay,
I'm gonna say that it's close. That Drake May fellow, let me tell you something. He can spin it. He can spin it. Everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels and all of his. Just look at Drake May play. Watch him throw the football. I mean, the kid can sling it around the yard. The kid probably has the edge in athleticism.
Ooh.
With Caleb Williams.
Wow.
Like, if you're comparing the two head to head, Drake May looks like the better athlete.
So you've
like
done-
he's bigger, stronger, faster. Like, he looks like the better athlete. Now, arm strength is comparable, but, like, in terms of the physical look when they go to the combine, wait. Drake May is going to blow some people away.
So he's bigger, stronger, faster. The arm strength is comparable, and he can spin it. Yet we're saying definitively Caleb Williams is the number one pick.
Because of the improvisation.
Okay.
Because of the playback, his ability to manipulate the pocket, eyes in the back of his head, seeing defenders and making guys miss. Like, there's that smoothness to his game, like Patrick
Effortless
Mahomes.
At times.
Effortless, exactly. That's the best way to say it.
No, Evan, I'm not satisfied to answer your question.
Okay, yeah, so... you're doing the draft for ESPN Radio coming up in a month
Yeah. I mean, we're all doing the draft, though, right? We're going to make it a show trip to Detroit.
I've never been to Detroit. I would love
determined.
It.
To be determined.
Yeah, they, I mean, in April, you can still wear fur coats in Detroit.
I would love it.
There you go.
We'll revisit the mob wife establishment.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, question then. You've done your tape study on Caleb. You've done it on Drake May. Have you done it yet on Jaden Daniels?
No. Here's the thing. It's not even tape study. This is just watching the highlights. Just kind of as a draft primer, but... Yeah, I'll do
so there's a chance that Jaden Daniels could jump both of them or drop down. There could be another one in the mix.
I don't see Jaden Daniels jumping either one of them.
Okay.
Not in my eyes.
All right,
and not in the eyes of people that I've talked to that have been around both players.
Well, Field Yates' mock draft came out today, and we're going to talk to Field in less than an hour because Jaden Daniels went up in his, so we will do that in a little bit. Pat, next one.
Tiger Woods has been getting crushed for his new logo and his new line, and I have no idea why. I think the new logo looks fantastic. I think the new line looks like it's going to be really cool, and I don't get why people are hating on this so much.
You think that this is really great?
I think it looks great. I think it's a tiger, obviously. It's got 15 marks for his 15 majors. The Sunday red thing is synonymous with tiger, so yeah, I think it looks phenomenal.
Just why is Sunday red three words and not two?
Okay, I don't like that it's broken.
There's a reason. There's a reason for that. I heard McAfee talk about this. That I guess the marketing executives thought that three words or three syllables is what catches people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was a spin. I feel like they just couldn't get it two words, and so they just went with three.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't get the copyright on it.
That logo looks like a placeholder for the real logo. Like.
I mean, that's what I just heard McAfee talking about that. So I don't know. I'm not. That's what Pat was told by the marketing people, or that's what it was put out there.
Well, maybe in another scenario, those three syllables are breaking it up that way would be more effective, but not when we already talk about Tiger Woods and he's synonymous with Sunday Red. It flowing that way, not Sunday Red.
Yeah, but everyone's just going to say Sunday Red.
I just don't like it. I don't like how they broke it up into three like that.
Or the logo.
The logo's fine.
They're going to get Sexy Red to have to be a spokesperson.
I don't know. Sunday Red. I don't know if I can do that.
Sexy Red or Sunday Red.
Okay, so I agree with Pat. I feel like we're criticizing it just because we just decide to.
No, it's because
the Sunday part is throwing me off.
The
TW
logo,
the Sunday doesn't make sense.
Is all time awesome.
Yeah,
and I expected more from Sunday Red.
All right, coming up, we're gonna get back into the Super Bowl fallout, but there is a story that just came out that if this thing actually happened, it would have arguably been the biggest trade in the history of sports. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.